Welcome to Whiskey with Witcher. I'm Valerie.
And I'm Tim. And this is a podcast where we drink whiskey and talk about The Witcher.
Spoiler alert. While each episode of our podcast directly correlates with an episode of the show, we will be discussing the series as a whole.
And we'll be mentioning things from the games, books, and other pieces of Witcher IP. Although we'll do our best not to spoil any major potential plot points.
You have been warned.
So, Valerie, it's time for the most important question of the podcast. What are we drinking?
Well, Tim, we've tried a lot of whiskeys over the course of this podcast. We've had bourbons, ryes, and some truly interesting flavored options.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sean loves those. They're his favorite. but I'm happy to tell you that it's finally time to crack open our first ever scotch.
Woo-hoo!
With Providence Altmore 8-year-old single malt scotch whiskey. And that's whiskey without the E, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
The word Providence means the beginning of something's existence, something's origin. And in episode 4 of Hexer, we get not one, but two origins as the audience is introduced to both Jaskier and Yennefer for the first time. So in honor of two of our favorite characters showing up on screen, we're cracking open a special bottle because this is one of the whiskeys I picked up from my trip to Edinburgh, Scotland.
Yeah.
That's right. It came directly from the motherland via our suitcases. We'll get into the details of this particular whiskey in our proper whiskey section. But for now, let's raise a glass as we delve deep into the origin of Yennefer, Jaskier, and their relationships with Geralt in episode 4 of Hexer, The Limit of Possibilities. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, I'm watching everyone's faces.
Now, you've had this one
before. I have had a tiny sip of this one before.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know you didn't go and buy these blindly. You
No.
You
so I went
scotches we got.
To three different shops in Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And the sales clerk, I kind of told him some of what I was looking for. We'll get into this more in the section, but there are different types of scotches out there depending on the region. So I was kind of trying to mix it up and get some different regional varieties.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk
more. But this was recommended to me by one of the shopkeeps.
Awesome. We'll definitely talk more about it. And I have more questions just about, how you decided on it, which we'll save for our whiskey segment. And I know it's time for the summary and I'm supposed to do it this week. but first, I gotta call someone out.
Call someone out.
It's not you, my friend. I've done
nothing wrong.
No, you've done everything you're supposed to do. But our producer did not watch the episode.
Sean.
The dog ate my homework. Susan ate my homework.
I think you have to drink for that.
Yeah. Drinking right now.
Like you probably should have to down your glass.
What an episode you missed, Sean.
I know.
I hear there were boobies.
Oh, there were so many boobies, but we'll get into that.
Part of me wants to hear Sean do a summary of what he thinks the episode was. Like on the spot.
Yeah, okay. while the actual episode was happening, our friend Guido was off in another part of the continent, also seeing many, many boobies. He passed by a bone cave, did not enter, may have been boning in the bone cave. We don't know. We never will know. Then he made his way to a small village where there was a chicken who was previously a boy. It was a boy who had been turned into a chicken. And they were like, hey, you're a former witcher, right? And he said, well, yeah, I'm fucking Guido. And they said, you got to help us. This chicken, our boy got turned into a chicken. And he's like, that's not really my thing. I could cut his head off with a sword. That's kind of the thing witchers do. No, we're looking for more of a solution where children aren't murdered. And he's like, oh man, I don't know if you saw episode one, but murdering people is really my thing.
Especially children.
Yeah. I saved most of the children so that, they could, work through the trauma by becoming witchers. You don't really get this whole witcher thing, do you? Also, since when do children get turned into chickens in the Witcher universe?
Sean, you are dangerously close to a side quest in Witcher 3 and you don't even know. But that was a beautiful summer.
And they're like, What's The Witcher? This is Hexer.
Mm. Well done, Sean.
Fade to credits.
Well done.
Yeah. I don't like.
So there's no resolution whatsoever. The boy is still a chicken. And then Guido turns into Mick Booby.
I gotta admit, I thought you were going to build to like a choking your chicken sort of gag.
I mean, that. I might have, but Valerie started the slow clap early. So.
I'm sorry.
So I don't know. Like, I feel like that's a more entertaining. Like, this was actually not a bad episode, but I feel like my actual summary is going to be nowhere near as entertaining as that.
I believe in you, Tim.
I mean, I didn't write anything down as usual, but.
I mean, neither did Sean.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Guys. It's the dragon episode.
It's the dragon episode.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And if you've read the dragon the dragon short story, you kind of know the gist of what happens. Geralt meets a knight who is accompanied by two very fierce-looking Zarakanian warrior women who befriends him, as well as, you know, major character debut number one,
yeah,
a bard named Yaskir, all of whom are waiting to get through a road crossing, which they're not able to because a dragon has been found in the kingdom, and they're not letting anyone pass unless they're capable of killing the dragon. So the only people who have been passing are dragon hunters, and Geralt is not at all interested in killing this dragon, so he's just kind of stuck there along with Yaskir and along with this knight whose name is Borch, until he finds out one of the dragon hunters is major character debut number two, Yennefer, who apparently he knows. We'll get into that. Anyhow, they enter, when he discovers that she is one of the dragon hunters, he forces his way through and joins the other dragon hunters that include a gang of reavers, but for some reason they're called Hagars in the translation, as well as some dwarves and a knight named Ike of Denisley, as well as the king who wants to kill the dragon to marry a princess, and a few other randos. They go on the quest. Tragedy happens. A bunch of people are killed. Borch disappears. Yennefer and Geralt almost die. They have some banter with each other. Then we find out, surprise, although not because you've seen the Netflix episode or have read the short story. You find out Borch is actually the dragon. He attacks a bunch of people. He kills Ike. Geralt still refuses to kill him, and actually, you know, works with Yennefer to defend him. And in the end, you know, you find out the reason why is because there was a baby dragon, and the living dragon or the Borch dragon was protecting him. So all of it has to do with like a baby dragon. At the end, Yennefer and Geralt ride off together and leave poor Yaskir by himself.
That's what I said.
Word for word.
I'm going to go ahead and pat myself on the back because in the Netflix series, you likened the appearance of the dragon, yes, to a chicken.
Yes.
Which was a man who turned into a dragon that looks like a chicken. And I really was not far off, was I? No,
I was thinking of it as you were saying it. I'm like, oh, chicken.
But here's what I'm going to say. As bad as the special effects the monster effects are on the Hexer, I think this is a better looking dragon than the dragon on The Witcher.
That was my thought. I was like, I wonder if Tim likes this one better.
Like the effects are just cheesy. Like they're like, you know, low grade, early, you know, like
early 2000s.
Yeah. Like clearly low budget. Like they, it looks like, you know, something that you could do as, like you could do in a AR app, on a phone now, you know,
but the design delivers.
But the design. Yeah.
It looks much more like a dragon.
Yeah, it looks like something that could really you know, tear someone apart. So I like the design. Like if it was rendered more realistically, it would have been a pretty badass looking dragon. Yeah. So as silly and as bad as the effects are at times, in that scene, and we'll get to it when we start going through the episode. I gotta say, I like this dragon better.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I'll say right off up front that this has been by far my favorite episode so far. Mm-hmm. It was, once I realized it was the dragon episode, I got really excited. And not just because I predicted this as the next episode.
As soon as I watched it, I was like, oh shit, he was right. It's the dragon episode.
I wasn't right about everything. We'll get to that when we get our last section. But
none of us predicted Chicken Boy.
no, Sean. Except for you, apparently. So yeah, you know, let's talk this one through. I mean, it starts pretty much like the Netflix episode starts with.
You got the first appearance of Headband Geralt. Headband Geralt.
Geralt is rocking the 80s headband.
Mm-hmm. Taking up the Guido mantle.
He has. I'm like, I don't quite know what the significance of this headband is, but he's wearing it. It's clearly, we find out it's been a few years since the last episode. There's definitely been a time jump. Last episode, it was a case of the disappearing, reappearing beard. Yeah. Now it's just, he has a bit of a beard, or stubble or whatever you want to call it. So you find him, he's in a cave killing a basilisk. These people think that the basilisk has killed him. He's not going to come out, and they want to steal his stuff. That's how the Netflix episode starts,
and the story as well.
So they all start pretty much the same and are all pretty faithful at this point to the short story.
What do you think of that basilisk design?
I mean, I couldn't really see it much. It looked like a giant rubber thing. Like, that's what I expect for like at least the dead monsters on this show. I guess, with that in mind, with knowing that's what it's going to be, it was a pretty good prop.
Yeah.
Like it worked, especially compared to some of the props we saw a bit later. But this one I think like worked pretty well, and I guess like the big question I have, like, you know, first big question I have for you, Valerie, is what did you think of this Borch?
I liked him quite a lot.
I did too.
I enjoyed young hot Borch, which is kind of how he is in
young
the book.
And kind of hot,
yeah,
right?
In the book, he's younger and hotter. Yeah.
It's funny because in the Netflix series, I don't know, for some reason, I thought that actor, that look for the character worked.
It does.
But this is like, this is definitely, I mean, I don't remember him being hot in the book, but it makes sense.
You know? He's younger. He's more virile. He's more of a swashbuckler kind of figure.
Yeah. He came off that way with this. He had like, you know, sort of like a good energy. Like he smiles a lot. Yeah. He always seemed like he was kind of amused or having
love and
fun.
Life.
Exactly. And he called everyone dear, including the men, which I thought was kind of funny. I mean, I don't know if that's the exact translation
Or
if there's like, you know, maybe there's some subtlety being lost there, but I don't know. I mean, good choice by the translator if it was something like that, because I found that amusing the way he kept calling
it. And I still like,
thank you, McBooby.
I still like that he's like a smaller guy too.
Yeah.
Because in the Netflix show, it is a smaller old man. And
here
he's young, but he's still like shorter than Geralt. And I really like the dichotomy of that like this big powerful dragon is masquerading around as this kind of like smaller human.
And then of course Taya and Vea. What do you think of them here?
They were fine. It was like, I don't know, the costume design was very like, let's put them in Flintstones leopard gear and
it worked considering the aesthetic budget and everything of this this show to me. I don't know, you know, like I in some ways, like, I don't know, I don't want to say I prefer them to the Taya and Vea of the Netflix show because I really liked them as well.
Yeah.
But I feel like they had slightly more, they were given slightly more to do.
They were flirtier.
They're like, flirtier, yeah. And, You know, I don't know. Maybe not.
I see what you mean. In the Netflix one, they were there to be like badass, like tough warrior women. Yeah. And in this one, they killed some people, but they were also like flirty and
yeah.
And it's just the way the story went. Like you're right. They weren't given as much to do in the Netflix.
Yeah. But we meet them. They all go to this pub and
the Pensive Dragon.
Pensive Dragon, which has great cuisine, and they. They, you know, as they're having some food and having some beer, they do some talking. And a lot of, you know, this early scene's a lot of dialogue, a lot of conversation, but that's pretty close to what it is in the book. There's a lot of conversation, a lot of philosophical discussion. And the problem with watching The Hexer with these fan subs is they're not always the best at translating that. Like, this is a case where my familiarity with the story and having the short story. And at times, when I was watching this, I'd pause it and pull the book out and would look at this scene. And a lot of the dialogue seems to be pretty close to what's in the book. We'll talk a bit about this when we get to Off the Path. But a lot of it seemed to be pretty close to what was there, or else like kind of abridged versions of, I think, what was in Sapkowski's story. But this idea of sort of, you know, Geralt's kind of philosophy, how he won't kill certain animals, he won't kill dragons. And he kind of has this code that he lives by. And there's a lot of discussion. It's very briefly touched on, but in Sapkowski's story about chaos and order. Yeah. And that's kind of brought up here. Now, one question I had for you is, what's up with Geralt getting all mad during this
scene?
He
seems like he got drunk.
Yeah, angry drunk?
Maybe.
Like
he's normally such a sensitive boy that he just can't take the pressures of the world when he's in vibes too much.
Yeah.
Angry drunk Geralt.
He's like a mad, angry drunk. Because Borch is just having a conversation, just being kind of cool and, you know, asking him questions. And he's like, you're tiring me with this. It's not, you know, and then at one point he says, well, what about a dragon? Dragons kill, you know, like sheep and animals. Yeah. Like they don't kill, maybe some of them don't kill people, but they'll kill sheep and animals and stuff like that. Yeah. And he's like, what do you expect? Dragon's not a mouse. Or he's all yelling at him. I think you're right. I think it was supposed to be he's drunk.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I just thought, I'm like, I wouldn't have thought Geralt is an angry drunk. I mean, I guess he doesn't get to the point where he's violent and like that. He just kind of was getting all
like when you're having like deep drunken political discourse. Yeah. He's like, no, this is how it is.
I mean, I've certainly known angry drunks in my life. I am not one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we could do this podcast if I was. obviously you're not one either.
This is the best idea ever, drunk.
Yeah.
Street meet at 2 a.m. Yeah. Best idea ever.
Yeah. I'm a little bit of that, and a little bit of I want to hug everyone drunk, sort of. So I got that sense too, that I think that's what it was. But at first it threw me. I'm like, why is he so, cause you don't really see them. Like they sit down, they immediately start talking and it's that tone. I think you're right. I think it was, he was supposed to be drunk, but you don't really see him getting drunk. So it's just kind of like he's suddenly there. Then Valerie, I'm going to let you say what happens.
Well,
after
before we get to that, I just wanted to say that I do appreciate that Borch orders like half the menu, man after my own heart.
Well, he does
just
that
like,
in the book too.
Just order the whole menu right there.
Yeah, I know. It's just like thing after thing after thing after thing.
And then
he's like, oh, for the mutton, we'll just be the only ones eating it. The women are watching their figure, but they would eat everything else presumably.
Yeah. And, like mutton's the thing that's going to put you over the edge. It's not like the fried shit or whatever. Oh no, the mutton, I can't.
Yeah.
It's simply too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, speaking of women and figures.
Yeah. So what happens next, Valerie?
Tim! Tim!
What?
We get our bathtub orgy.
We get our foursome in the
bathtub. That
I asked about in our side quests, like a couple months ago, that I seriously did not expect that we'd
Who knew that Hexer was going to be the thing that delivered the foursome in the bathtub with the dragon?
I mean, in fairness, it's not like it suddenly becomes a porn flick. Like we get,
but they're two full naked ladies. Yeah. So.
Oh, I think it was kind of fun the way they did them all kind of naked, sneaking up all quietly while the two guys are in the bath and had passed out, and then they just jump in and you know what happens after that.
No, yeah. That is a porn though. That's the only time that happens.
Yeah, yeah. They just don't show. They don't. They cut away a lot sooner than a porn would cut away.
Yeah, but I was just like, what? Hexer delivering.
Yeah,
and not the first. Or it is the first and the second pair of tits we'll see in this episode, but not the last. Stay tuned. Sean, you missed out.
I'm trying to figure out if this is all true or if you're just trolling me for not having watched the episode.
No, because we'd be trolling our listeners too, and we don't do that to them.
We wouldn't lie to you about a bathtub foursome.
Yeah, I know.
We take bathtub foursomes like, very seriously here on Whiskey with Witcher.
The funny thing is, it's like when I started watching, Valerie watched this episode before I did, and bless my podcast partner's heart, she did not spoil anything.
Did not I say don't know anything.
How she avoided
not
it.
Not a word.
I told you I watched it four or five days ahead of me. And you didn't say anything. And like when I first started watching, I'm like, wait, is this the dragon episode? I texted you. And then when after that, I'm like, wait, like four, they actually did the bathtub orgy? Like bathtub orgy, like what?
Bathtub foursome.
Yeah. I'm actually going to bring some of that back. We were just talking about stuff off mic. Sorry, guys. But I got Valerie asked an interesting question that I'm gonna ask our listeners. What is the number where something actually qualifies as an orgy? Can an orgy be with four people, or is that just a foursome?
Does it become an orgy with five? I feel like you don't really say a five-some, and you definitely don't say a six-some.
Yeah.
So I feel like anything over four. Question mark? I don't know. Let us know. Email us and tell us your thoughts.
Let's invite two people over and find out.
So this technically isn't an orgy in a bathtub. This is a foursome in the bathtub.
Tim, I think an orgy is whatever you want it to be.
That's not true. That is definitively not true. I don't want it to be true. I'm also going to say
that's not true.
If someone says, hey, I'm having an orgy, I want to know what I'm getting into. Yeah. You know?
An orgy of two.
All right. Anyhow, you know, you guys have opinions on that. Let us know. But we're going to move on now.
Poll for the instant.
Yeah. So after it cuts away, we see them riding off. And then it gets to where I talked about where they get held up at this gate because they there's a dragon that's loose. And this guard doesn't have the authority to let anyone pass unless they're part of like one of these dragon hunt groups. And that's when we meet Yaskir.
Yaskir.
Now
Yaskir has entered the chat.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of the Hexer's Yaskir?
It was a weird introduction. And again, I don't know if it's like the subtitles and it's just like the fan subs aren't quite doing it. But yeah, he just kind of was like, oh, hey, Geralt. And I'm thinking, do they know each other? Is this the first time they're meeting? Does he know of Geralt through his reputation?
That's what I took it as. He knew Geralt through his reputation, but that this was their first time meeting each other. Yeah, it was a little weird, though. I agree. The translation was a little confusing. Obviously, he's not quite as traditionally handsome of...
He's kind of like a normal-looking dude.
Yeah. Like, so it kind of fits your... I remember which episode you talked about it, how, like, the cast members are all pretty normal. Like, they look like regular people.
Yeah.
So I think it fits that category. That said, it's not like he's bad-looking. He just looks normal.
Like a normal-looking dude. You'd be perfectly happy if you went on a date with him. Yeah. But, he's not, like, Hollywood attractive.
But I kind of like his costume. It's a little more, like, almost, like, traditional bard-like. That hat he wears a little bit more Robin Hood like, I thought.
Yeah, jaunty.
Yeah. But I, you know, I got, that was the last time I texted you suddenly when I was why I'm like, Yaskir. That's cool. I mean, it makes sense. He's there in the story. Yeah. So it's cool that he's here. And I like that him and Geralt immediately take to each other.
Yeah.
I feel like, while there's not a lot of what I would call banter between the two of them, I feel like it's the friendship that we are always talking about, you know, like it feels like they feel like they get along. It does feel like like Geralt, like several times later in the episode, just in one, he'll say, Jaskier, come on. Like, yeah. He's like, he considers him part of his crew at that point. And they just, they feel more like the buddies that they are in, in the books. And at the same time, I feel like, at least in this episode, the Hexer dials back a lot of the sort of negative qualities of Jaskier in the books. Like, I think he does make at some point at this first scene, he says something like a lot of women would say I'm the unrivaled. It wasn't that or something
I think he made a comment about how he can't be tied down or something like that too.
He may have said that, but I remember when he, at the very first scene, when he says I am Jaskier, also known as the, sometimes called the un something or a, it's not unrivaled, but it means something like that or something. It's something similar to that. And he said, you know, some women call me the unrivaled or something like that. And I know
unattainable. That, I don't know. Yeah.
No, it's something like that. I know it's actually said in the book, like he actually says, makes a reference to that, you know, as well. But that's like the only time that this Jaskier in this episode kind of alludes to being sort of a womanizer. Yeah. Other than that, you know, he just seems like a kind of a poet, you know, a bard. And
well, given again that Susan ate my homework and hearing that this is Jaskier's debut, my natural question was, of course, does Jaskier fuck? And I'm happy to hear the answer appears to be yes.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he does. It's just, I don't think it's going to be as big of a series plot point, at least based off of this episode. Who knows what's in future episodes of Hexer. You know, it's not going to be as big of a series plot point as it is in the books. And in fairness, it's not as big of one in the Netflix series either. But this Jaskier, we're going to try to say his name.
Do you want me to do it?
Do you want to do it?
Why don't we both do it?
Okay.
I'm going to do it first. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Zbigniew.
Oh, you're so good.
Zamachowski.
You're so good. Yeah, that's how you say it. Zbigniew Zamachowski. Which, thank you to Maya, because she's the one who told us how to pronounce his name.
Yeah. Our American asses are like, how does this work?
Now, Zbigniew has done a lot of Polish film and TV.
And he's like a legit singer too, right? Like, this is him doing all the music.
That I don't know. So if you've heard that, then I believe it. I have not heard that, but no reason to doubt it. Since we're saying like actor names, we'll mention Borch is played by actor Andrzej Hira, I believe is how you say his name. And Teja is Melgorzata Zastoft. Sorry, she has a tough one. Melgorzata Zastoft. And Veja is Julita Famuszka. So those roles. Yeah, I figured I need to at least call out the
For the first time, I believe you.
I need to at least call out the performers behind Teja and Veja because they put it all out there. but yeah, anyhow, so we meet Jaskier, they hang out, they talk, and dragon, you know, they discuss the different dragon hunters, and then, as I said, major appearance number two.
Major appearance number two.
Yennefer? Did any of us have Yennefer on our bingo card?
When I first found out it was the dragon episode, I thought they were just going to do it without Jaskier and Yennefer.
I thought maybe Jaskier, especially obviously once he showed up, but I did not assume even then that Yennefer would.
Yeah, not make only does Yennefer show up, but like apparently they met before in a previous flashback.
Now let's talk about Yennefer a bit, because first of all, it's a weird first appearance for, even though it's faithful to the story. You know, this story is in the second collection of Witcher short stories. So there is a whole novels or whole books worth of short stories that were written and take place sequentially before this story. Geralt and Yennefer had met each other. So her showing up the way she does like this when you're reading the stories, and then, you know, and also the way they kind of position this episode in the Netflix series is not odd, but having it be her first appearance is very odd. And I didn't care for that.
It was weird because, like, I don't know. I felt like they were kind of cheating, just doing, like, their meeting through flashback.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, yeah. I totally know her. And here's a flashback explaining how I know her.
Yeah. I mean, I do give them credit. You meet Yennefer and 30 seconds later, you know, that she's getting it on with Geralt.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Boobies number three.
Yeah.
All the boobies.
Yeah. I know. You know, I mean, like, I was a little, I'm not going to say I hated that, but it was not really a great introduction.
No.
Now,
so basically he's like hurt or something and she's tending to his wounds and then he winds up healing and then they get it on because, you know.
Yeah. That's flashback. And he says, he knew her at one point.
Yeah.
And that's about all you get as far as their background.
And Yen, I'm going to try it. Ready? Yeah. Yen is played by Grazina Volshok.
Good job. Yeah.
Is it a good job? That remains to be seen.
Now, what did you think of Grazina's?
I loved her.
Yeah.
I thought she was so sexy.
Oh, God.
I thought she had, like, the perfect, like, had
hey,
that
Grazina.
Whole, like, yeah, right?
How's it going?
Hi. Yeah, she's on Instagram. We can find her. Neither of us speak Polish, but hey. She had the perfect, like, that perfect Yennefer, like, ice bitch thing kind of going on. Like, she was really good.
Yeah. I will say I had an issue with, I don't think she had the sort of spunk that Yen does, like the sort of like sassiness that Yen does. She didn't have that.
Yeah.
I don't blame that on Grazina in her performance. I'm sure that's the writing. But so I didn't care for that. But physically, visually, she looks like Yen. She looks, I mean, like I said, she's in my mind stunning.
Yeah.
She looks like amazing. And you know, I look forward to seeing her with Mikael a little bit more because I think like they could potentially have some good chemistry together.
Yeah.
We don't get we get enough of them together, but you know, we're still kind of just getting used to her as like all right, this is Hexer's Yen, and so and I don't know, like I obviously they don't have the costuming budget that Netflix has, but I liked her costume.
Yeah.
Her hair was perfect.
Yeah,
you know?
She was great. No, she looked awesome. Did she have violet eyes? I couldn't tell.
Oh, you know what? I didn't check on that.
Yeah, they were light, but you know, we're watching on these on the greatest quality video, so sometimes it's hard to see details like that.
360p, baby!
But no, I thought she was great, and she had that weariness down. Like, you're right, she didn't necessarily have the spunk, but she definitely had that, like, I can't believe I have to put up with this shit kind of vibe that
she
I
did
like
have
from Yen. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a little bit, channeling a little bit of what like Anya had near the second half of season one of the Netflix series. Like when she's just over it, when she's been doing this for a long time. You're right. I do feel...
Hey, Susan.
Susan's talking. I do feel that Grazina had a little bit of that sort of weariness to her.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's... it's a different portrayal. I'm curious to see where it goes from here. I liked her.
She had so many great lines too between her and Geralt.
Yeah.
Where she says to him at one point, like, being a witcher, you can't have a purpose. You just go and kill another monster. And he says, like, that's how they made me. Like that was a great exchange.
Yeah.
And then she had a line to him too about she doesn't want to be with someone who needs her as a lover and a mother. And I was like, I feel you, Yennefer. I understand that sentiment, girl. I get it. Yeah.
So she has some great lines. She has a really great presence, charisma. You know, she looks good. It was everything you want in Yennefer, and I'm not hating the fact that we get a Yennefer Geralt sex scene
like right off
right
the bat.
Off the bat. Like it's like, yep,
2 minutes into their introduction, here we go.
So she, you know, she rides by, and then of course, then Geralt had decided he's not going to go on this dragon hunt, and then of course he sees Yen's on it, and he wants to go. Geralt then. Goes through the gate. He forces his way through the gate. We'll talk about that in our off the path segment. And then we get he meets the other dragon hunters, and they're all the same dragon hunters. They're faithful to the book, but they're also the same dragon hunters we get in the Netflix show. We meet them a slightly different way, but You know, you got the Yarpin Zigrin mm-hmm. and the dwarves. Although I don't like this Yarpin anywhere yeah. near as much as yeah. the one from the Netflix show. We got the Boholt and the Reavers. Mm-hmm. But like I said in my intro, they call them Hagars for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what that is.
Hexer's gonna hex her.
Yeah. And then we get Ike of Denislay. What do you think of this Ike? He's more faithful to the books.
Yeah, he's doing his thing, man. Yeah.
You know, it's this crusty old religious knight.
Yeah, yeah. Religious dude, yeah.
But you know, yeah. So those are the dragon hunters plus Yennefer.
Yeah.
You eventually will meet the king, King Nidamir.
Yeah,
King Nidamir. Mm-hmm. And then his I don't remember what the actual title is, but Gyllenstern, mm-hmm. who is exactly how he was portrayed in the book. This like sour,
yeah.
you know, like heavy, just cranky guy who just mm-hmm. wants nothing to do with Geralt. So you know, yeah, you meet all these characters. I don't know. Do you have anything to say about their takes on them or
not? You know, really. I yeah. mean, like you said, more book accurate. But
yeah. So they meet. They have some conversations. They agree how they're going to divide up. Payment. Geralt still wants nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And then you know, they go on and you know, you as a group to find this dragon. Oh, there's one other character I think worth calling out because you know, he's in this episode. He's in the Hexer's take on the story. He's in the Andrzej Sapkowski's story, but he's not in the Netflix episode, which is this shoemaker, this cobbler.
Oh, the guy with the dragon, yeah, that poisons the...
Yeah, and I'm trying to think where... I know I wrote his name down somewhere. It's a weird name. It's different than it is in the book. Oh, yeah, okay, it was Sheepbagger in the book, and here he's Kozoyed. I don't know what the right pronunciation is for that. Anyhow, he's a minor character, yeah. but he's the one who... originally poisons a dragon by basically stuffing a sheep full of poison
yeah.
and then, you know, baiting the dragon with it. And so the dragon eats it and doesn't kill him, or doesn't kill, we find out it's a her, he doesn't kill her, but it kind of messes her up and she yeah. flies off sort of, you know, unsteadily. And so that's, you know, they want to kill her while she's in the weakened state. Now,
so I've heard about all the boobies that are in this episode, but you just told me about stuffing a sheep full of poison.
Yeah.
And I'm just like so much more fascinated about what that looks like.
Well, we don't see it. We just hear about it. Okay. But here's the interesting thing, Valerie. I'm wondering if you noticed this. I don't know if you watched the episode all the way to the end of the credits, but there is a translator's note at the end.
Did
you
see I missed that.
Okay. So here's what's interesting about that. So according to the translator, this cobbler in the story is based on a character from a Polish folktale.
Oh, I did know this.
Oh, you did know
yeah.
this?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know that folktale? Because I've never
I don't know the folktale, but I know of it through The Witcher. Like, I know that he's based on, like, a character from a folktale. Oh, that Sapkowski was drawing from that.
All right, you must have read about that in a fan
I'm on the internet,
yeah,
man.
Because I didn't know about that.
But please continue, because you can tell it better than I can.
Well, because it's, like, obvious. All right, so it's based on a character from a Polish folktale that's about the shoemaker who defeats a dragon by tricking it with poison
yeah.
and ends up marrying a princess mm-hmm. as a result.
As one does.
And so it's basically another example of Sapkowski taking known folktales or yeah. fairy tales and incorporating them into The Witcher, but kind of subverting them a mm-hmm. little bit. And so in this case, the cobbler is an idiot
yeah.
and completely, you know, is just laughed at and beaten up by, and well, he really was kind of an annoying character, by like all these other sort of dragon slayers. And then the princess ends up, you know, marrying the king.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a subversion of that tale. I've never heard that folk tale before though. So I didn't realize this was another example of that when I read the story. So, you know, Valerie's more well-read.
I only know of it because The Witcher.
Yeah.
I did not come across it in my daily life. So.
Yeah, but I didn't know about it because of The Witcher. I didn't come across it on Tumblr or wherever you did.
Hey, man, Tumblr is the hot social media all of a sudden again. Love this Twitter nonsense. Everybody's migrating over to Tumblr. True.
I wasn't meant to be a diss.
I played the long game, man.
That wasn't meant to be a diss at Tumblr. It's just like, yeah. You do read
everybody's
a lot of
stuff. Coming
to
Tumblr now. We're accepting the refugees of Twitter. Come on over, guys.
Yeah.
No more porn.
Porn again. There is porn again.
Yay!
Porn is back.
Is Tumblr porn again?
There is porn again on Tumblr. There's a tag. You have to like tag an adult content, but there is porn once more.
Is there Witcher porn?
Oh, yes.
Valerie knew. No hesitation in answering that one.
I'll send you some links after the podcast.
Wonder what
we
Valerie's
might be recording a side quest.
So
I'm not a Patreon supporter. What? Anyway.
So anyhow, this cobbler was like another character was all I wanted to say about it. But so we meet all these characters. They all kind of go off in search of the dragon. There's some discussion, conversation. Geralt goes and talks with Borch. And there's this sort of weird scene where Borch like flicks a coin down, which looks
down
like it causes a rock slide, an avalanche sort of thing. I guess rock slide is probably the more authentic term. Now this is in the short story. And I gotta say, considering their budget and what they're working with, what they're able to do, I thought they did pretty good pulling off like a rock slide.
They
didn't embarrass themselves with that. It looked pretty decent. it looked old school, but it looked pretty decent. And so this rock slide kills a bunch of people, and almost kills Yennefer.
Yeah, she gets
Geralt.
Thrown off the side. Yeah, she's hanging on for dear life.
Yeah, so Geralt goes to try to save her. He ends up kind of getting himself in trouble. And ultimately, it's Ike who throws down a rope.
And they didn't want the rest of the crew didn't want to save them. Yeah, they're like, well, two less people to share the loot with.
Yeah,
you know?
the Reavers and the dwarves didn't want to save them. And so Ike throws down the rope and Yaskar, I think, is the one who kind of pulls them up and Geralt can hear what they're saying. So he calls them out on it. Now there's this weird moment where he's like, I forget what he said. He's like, I don't want to kill people. I'm not going to kill you, but draw a sword on me or draw your sword on me and see what happens. Mm. And like I guess that's Yarpin pulls out his axe and like Geralt kind of slashes him. And I don't know what happened.
Slashes his beard. He cuts his beard off.
Is that what happened? Yeah. Okay, I couldn't
figure
that out.
I had to watch it
twice
to figure it out.
I couldn't, like, I thought, like, at first I thought it was, like, going to be one of those things, you know, you see it in some movies where it's like, and then, like, there's a pause, and then, you'll see someone's head fall off or, you know, something. I thought they were going to go that route. But like happened, and you see this actor like closes in on it. He puts his hands up, and he starts screaming. And I'm like, "What just happened?"
Yeah, Geralt like cuts off part of his beard.
Okay, I couldn't. I'm glad you explained that to me.
I had to watch it like twice to pick it up because same thing happened. I thought he was going to behead him or something. Yeah, and I'm like, why? What? What's happening?
Yeah, okay, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so they pick up who's left, and they kind of have some conversations.
And they notice that Borch is missing.
Yeah, Borch is missing.
Tay and Bay are missing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Geralt, is it at this point or is it after? What point does he convince the king to leave? Is it before they see the dragon or after?
I don't remember. Yeah, I watched it like a week ago.
I just watched it today and I can't remember that. I don't know if it really is.
But he had a great
important.
Line, which was, "You're surprised by simple and obvious things."
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm going to use in my daily life.
Yeah. Geralt definitely has some great lines. I don't know. Again, we never know if we're getting the actual
Geralt, like, gives no fucks in this episode.
Yeah.
It's like, here's my environmental diatribe.
No, he really does, and that's interesting.
Species conservation.
That's interesting. That's worth discussing because there definitely is a personality change from this episode versus the last one we watched, where he had just started out on the path and was kind of young and a little bit more naive. Now he's definitely more jaded. And you're right. It's just like he's never once like seriously entertained the idea of killing this dragon.
Yeah.
I think just before they find the dragon, I think it is, he's basically like, "I'm done with you guys. I'm gone." You know, I think because like Yennefer has basically told him she's not interested.
Yeah.
At that point. And so, so he's riding off. She actually is going to team up with the rest of the crew So at one point, this dragon shows up. I can't quite remember where it fits into all this sort of stuff. But what I love is like the way that it shows up is just like some random guy. Actually, it's the cobbler, I think, comes up and says, you know, there's a dragon over there, which is how it kind of like shows up in the book, in the story. I always found it kind of random. They're like talking, they're moving, then they're suddenly like, there's a dragon over there. Like almost like, you know, like
there's a golden dragon in them there hills. Yeah.
Well, just something like you just kind of almost like, you know, just nonchalant. Like, by the way, did you know there was a dragon just like over there? You know,
just kind of chilling.
They all notice that, you know, like that dragon just kind of sitting there.
Yeah,
because it's not like the dragon, like they're going and the dragon suddenly just like attacks them or makes this big appearance,
just or it's like
Hobbit where it's like all build up to go in this cave and then there's this giant dragon. It's just like they're walking and then suddenly like, there's a dragon over there.
Like seeing a rainbow. Like, rainbow, cool. Yeah,
exactly. So I found that kind of amusing. But the dragon shows up. I already talked about how I you know, what I thought about it. You know, we don't have to rehash that again. The effects are what they are. But it sounds impressive.
Yeah.
You know, like, Valerie, how do you say its name?
Villain Trenton Mirth. I don't know if I can spell it. Hang on.
Villain Trenton Mirth.
V-I-L-L-E-N-T-E-N, villain. No. V-I-L-L-E-N-T-R-E-N-T-E-N-M-E-R-T-H.
You know what? I'll accept it. I mean, it sounds
something
right to
like
me.
That. I don't know.
I've had too much of the scotch to like, Same. You know, be like judging spelling.
I'm going to make you both drink because I was really looking forward to making Tim drink when you got it right. But then, you know.
Yeah.
It did take a take two.
Villain Trenton Mirth. Yeah.
Villain Trenton Mirth.
Which do they say in this?
He does.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the first time you hear him speak, he says, I don't know if he says, I am the dragon villain Trenton Mirth or just I am villain
You're
Trenton
like,
Mirth.
Yeah, we got that. Thanks. Yeah. We figured out that you were a dragon by your whole dragonness. But cool. Noted.
But I mean, yeah, that's a pretty, you know, good sound. It's like really sort of deep and fierce, you know, voice. Like, so that's pretty impressive. But so Ike challenges him to
that's a bad play, Ike.
to a fight to a noble fight to the death.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, like he lives or dies by the chivalric code. So
the chivalric code is bullshit.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of what Geralt Geralt would agree with you. I think. But anyhow, like so yeah, Ike challenges him. Gets himself killed.
Yeah.
I think that's when Geralt pieces out. He's like, yeah, I'm done here. You know, you guys are all just going to get yourself killed.
Yeah.
Yasker is, you know, he's the one who's like, oh, but it's so beautiful.
Yeah, he's really enamored with the dragon.
Yeah.
His poetic heart.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, it gets a little weird at this point. I'm not sure if I would have known exactly what was happening in this episode if I hadn't read the short story.
I have questions.
Yeah, because it's a little weird because there's stuff we don't get in the Hexer episode that we get in the short story and that we got in the Netflix episode, which is the whole stuff about golden dragons in general. You know, that conversation about the different types of dragons and like they kind of try to make up for it when they first find this dragon and they say, they realize he's golden and they're like, gold dragons are impossible they don't exist. They kind of try to make up for it then, but you know, it really would have benefited from that dragon discussion that, you know, Geralt has.
Drunkenly in the bar.
Yeah, with Borch and with like others. Well, I guess it's with others in the Netflix show, but I think it maybe is just
it
with Borch.
It could fit wherever, yeah.
Yeah. So that, I think it misses that. And it also misses an explanation of, you know, like basically dragons being able to turn into other forms.
I am not entirely convinced that Yennefer and Geralt know Borch is a dragon.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't clear at the end of it. Like we know he's a dragon from the stories and stuff, but like,
that's interesting.
I don't know that the encounter, he never is like, yes, it is me, the dragon. Hello. It's just like he says the line about being a witcher and he kind of like is a witcher for creatures and stuff, but
yeah,
like never once is it actually that clear. And that whole line about mind reading. thing I thought was really weird. I didn't quite understand what that was about.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, are you reading my mind? And they're both like, yeah, we're reading your mind. He's like, no, you're not.
Well, no, what he says, yeah. All right, we're jumping ahead.
A little, not that much, though. I mean, yeah.
Well, no, we miss a big part
okay,
of
let's
the
roll back. Let's roll back yeah, a little bit and then come back to this.
You're getting ahead. Because like the weirdness is, all right, so Geralt is going to peace out. Yennefer and the other dragon hunters are like, we'll take it down. We'll team up and take it down. Geralt and Jaskier are, I think, getting their stuff together, ready to ride out. And they look over and you see the Reavers and the dwarves fighting something. Yeah. And you go up and you see it's the baby dragon.
Little baby dragon. What do you think about baby dragon?
So, all right. So little baby dragon. remember what I said about some of the props later?
Yeah.
To me, this one looks like something that would be on Land of the Lost, you know? I don't know if you ever used to watch that show.
I know the reference. Yeah.
I was expecting Chaka to come out at this point. And the way it runs around in the grass reminds me of the gopher from Caddyshack. Oh, it had total Caddyshack vibe. Like it was like, that's what it kind of did. So, I want someone to take that scene and loop in the Kenny Loggins song over it. Like that's sort of what I want. But, yeah, no.
I mean, I probably could, Tim. I do have those skills, at least.
Throw in some scenes of Caddyshack. You could totally mash up those two things. So you find out they're attacking this, baby, which kind of comes out of nowhere suddenly. And so Geralt, and Yen go off and, Yasu, what side are you on? She's like, I'm not against you. And so they go off and fight off the Reavers and the dwarves. And then suddenly this dragon flashes and in a fire, you see, Borch and Vea and Taya riding out. And they go help as well. And together they all fight off, the Reavers and the dwarves and take the baby dragon. And then we get to where you were talking about,
and Yennefer is cuddling a baby dragon.
Yeah. That, that just looks so derpy. I kept expecting it to do weird sort of Looney Tunes things
listen, he was a boy who was turned into a chicken. So show some sympathy.
I mean, a chicken probably has more dignity than this little baby dragon did. She's holding the baby dragon and Bort shows up and says, that basically says he's like the dragon version of a witcher.
Yeah.
Now, I think they do know. I think they do know that he's a dragon. And the mind reading thing, it is very weird. And I got to think this is not great translation.
This is a translation issue,
yeah, because he says to Geralt, can you read minds? And Geralt says yes, which Geralt's not a mind reader. I think what he's saying is, can we communicate telepathically? Mm. And Geralt says yes. And because then they just sit. And so what he says before that, he says something do you want something from me? I can do anything. Or do you want to ask me something? And then he asks can you read minds? So I think he's talking about telepathically. Can you communicate telepathically? There's this moment where they're both staring at each other. And then I forget what his answer is, but it's I think he says, what does he say? He says, no, I can't, or no, or... and then Yennefer says, I can read minds too, or something. I heard, I don't remember exactly what, and he said, I understand. And he said, no, you don't, but you will. Is the exchange. It was really confusing.
It was weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he asked if Yennefer could have children, because that's, why she wants the Dragonhide. Or if he asked, can you make Yen fall in love with me? I don't know what it was supposed to infer.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's supposed to be a little bit ambiguous. Maybe we're not supposed to know.
A little too ambiguous, though, because I didn't even pick up on that's what was going down in that scene. So
I mean, I had to rewatch it a couple of times. I at least knew that they were communicating telepathically. He asked Borch something, and that was Borch's answer. And then I think Yen said, I can read minds, but I don't understand why. If she can read minds, she should have been able to hear what Geralt asked. And so I don't quite get Borch's answer to her.
Yeah.
So it is a weird exchange. And unfortunately, it's kind of where the episode ends.
Yeah.
There's there's, he says goodbye. He says, I thought it was kind of nice to Geralt, you were my friend, or you've been my mm-hmm. friend. And then he goes off. And then, yeah, Geralt and Yen ride off and basically leave Jaskier by himself, which seemed kind of fucked up, you know, like, I mean,
they just met. So it's not like they were BFFs at that
point. But Jaskier off by himself in the middle of the woods. He's not a fighter. That doesn't seem necessarily like a safe place for him. And, you know, it's not like I got the sense they're riding off to, like, you know, get it on or whatever. Like, you know, hey, three's a crowd, buddy. Like, I feel like he could have ridden with them.
But three is not an orgy.
Yeah. No, it is not. But I feel like he could have ridden with them to, like, I don't know, Crossroads, someplace where he could maybe, you know, find other people to ride with or, you know, be on at least the path to a kingdom where he could go perform. But he just like stays in the woods and they just ride out. Peace out. Hey, later, dude.
Later. You know?
and we ride off and that's kind of the end. So, like, I don't know. So it's a little bit of a weird ending. But up until that point, I thought, you know, the episode was pretty strong.
Yeah.
It's kind of my thinking of this.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was surprised that they went dragon episode, and I was surprised we got both Jaskier and Yennefer via flashback. But
yeah,
hey.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot
it was
of
fun.
There are a lot of kind of weird sort of things because of where this story showed up. Like I mentioned, when I talked about like, oh, I think the next episode would be the dragon episode, I was totally talking out of my ass. I really didn't
your ass is right.
That.
So let's talk about Scotch whiskey. Scotch whiskey, or scotch as it's known in the U.S., is mainly made from malted barley. To be called scotch, it has to be produced in Scotland. There are two main types, single malt and single grain. This bottle is a single malt scotch whiskey, which means it is made from only water and malted barley at a single distillery. Meanwhile, single grain scotch whiskey is likely produced at a single distillery but may contain other whole grains from malted or unmalted cereals. Unlike bourbon, which has no minimum aging period, scotch must be aged for at least 3 years in oak containers. Once ready, the whiskey is distilled and bottled at a minimum of 40% alcohol, which is 80 proof. Now, this one, I believe, is a little bit more than that, Tim. You were saying that you were looking at the thing, and it was...
Yeah, it's 92 proof.
92, yeah. All right. Now, if you look at the bottle, you might notice that on the label, it says that our whiskey is from the Speyside region. That is referring to one of the five Scotch whiskey regions: Campbelltown, Highland, Isla, Lowland, and Speyside. The islands, not to be confused with Highland, like islands, like a, you know, landmass surrounded by water, are also considered a region, depending on who you talk to, but more often than not, they are included as part of the Highlands. Each region is known for a different flavor profile. We're drinking a bottle from the Speyside region, which is the most densely populated whiskey region in the world, famous for fertile glens and the River Spey, hence, you know, the name Speyside. Speyside whiskeys are known for being frugal with peat, so this isn't a particularly peaty whiskey.
No, it's not.
And full of fruit. Apple, pear, honey, vanilla, and spice are prominent features of Speyside whiskeys, and the whiskeys are commonly matured in sherry casks. So that's a little bit about this whiskey. Now, the reason that I picked it, a few different reasons. I went to some different shops. I wanted to get some from some different regions. So I got some that are a little more peaty, some that are a little more chill. This is definitely more on the more chill side. And I went to a shop, and the shop owner let me try a few different ones, and I actually quite like this one. And I'm not going to lie, the graphic designer in me really likes the label. So I was like, oh, that's a cool label.
I have to say, and I would have said the same thing to Tim.
Yeah.
Totally hot. That you said
Isla.
Totally hot that you pronounced Isla correctly.
Thank you. I mean, I went on a tour, guys. I went to the Whiskey Museum. Yeah. I learned some things.
Yeah, it's better that you're the one introducing the scotches because, like,
and I can say Edinburgh as well. So there you go. if someone tells me how to pronounce things, I can do it the right way. I just need that knowledge.
So I was reading a little bit of their tasting notes here, and it says on the nose, barley, leading to nutmeg and treacle alongside buttered toast.
Oh, I don't think I get treacle.
I don't know what the fuck treacle smells like, so I don't know. I guess I get the buttered toast.
And you never will.
Well, I guess I get the buttered toast, but what I was thinking when I was doing it, it definitely has an earthier smell. And so I was, and this is a weird thing, but I was thinking like mushroom, you know, is kind of what I was getting. But on the, like the palate, like it definitely is like a lot lighter. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm getting a little bit of citrus, but also, I don't know, like there's like this earthiness that I don't quite know how to put into words. I mean, you know, it is like a little bit of peat, but it's not smoky, like you were saying.
Yeah, the thing I like about it is that it's lighter, but it still has like character to it. So it's not hard to drink, especially for a scotch. I think sometimes, especially as Americans, we tend to think of scotch as being like super peaty, and that's only part of it. Like there are a lot of scotches that aren't.
Yeah.
That's just from the islands.
Yeah.
Like mostly Islay. Too,
yeah.
That's the Lagavulins, the Laphroaig's.
Ah, Laphroaig.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because it's because of that. It's just like I'm getting like root vegetables, you know? like the thought that keeps coming to my mind is carrot. Like carrots. I don't know.
Sean, it does have a very earthy taste, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The tasting of it is just like because we haven't done many scotches, I guess I don't quite know what to.
Well, this is our first one, right?
Yeah, this is our first one, our first official. We've had some whiskeys that were peaty and smoky, but they weren't proper scotches.
Yeah.
Speaking of, what do you guys think?
I like it. Yeah.
No, did I do okay? Did I pick an okay one? Oh, yeah. Scotland?
No. I definitely like it. Now, I can't compare it to other scotches. I don't know them. I don't know the different regions. Like, you know, Sean is obviously going to be more knowledgeable about that than I am. So you said Speyside is the most populated of the regions.
Yeah, it's the one that's known for making the most like whiskey. That's really their thing.
Okay. Sean, what are you?
Sean's considering taking a drink, taking a pull.
I like it. I'm more of an islands guy, but I'm not strictly an Islay guy.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite scotch is Highland Park, which is from the island of Orkney.
Yeah. Also a neighborhood in Los Angeles.
indeed. So this has some nice sweetness to it. A lot of fruit to it that if I got those flavors in a bourbon or some other kind of American whiskey, I probably wouldn't be as much of a fan of, but they work really well with the wheatier base that, you get from a scotch.
Yeah. What is it? I didn't even look at what it says on the finish, what tasting notes. I just read the first two. On the finish, long and spicy stewed fruits with vanilla essences and clementines. So I guess that's the fruitiness you were talking about.
The palate is creamy cereal coupled with toffee.
Oh, I didn't read that.
Gentle spice and apricot jam.
Oh, I thought I read that. Sorry, I guess I hadn't. I guess I got to the nose and just stopped. So, Anyhow, a lot of stuff going on. But it's I think it's a scotch for people who probably are turned off. The smokiness. Non-scotch
people.
Yeah.
Is it time for our next segment? Actually, wait, it's not time for our next segment, Tim.
Right.
Because.
Oh, good God, no.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
We finally.
Oh, shit.
Finally have a review.
It was funny. It was like, I remember it. And then when you started announcing it, I had completely forgotten. I think I was trying to put it out of my mind.
Okay. Because so if this you don't is know going what to we're be talking a about. A few episodes ago.
I wish we could, Tim.
Yeah.
I wish
we said that if you wrote us a review, preferably a positive one, preferably five stars.
It needs to be a positive review.
It needs to be a positive one. Yeah, all right. Yeah. If you write us a positive 5-star review, we will do a shot. And we got a taker.
Yeah.
Thank you to Brett. Friend of the pod from On the Path. Yeah. Awesome Witcher podcast.
Yeah.
He wrote us a review and he, now we can't promise that you're always going to get to dictate the shot because it's, you know, dependent on what's available where we live. Yeah. But he had a request. So we were doing Rumplements. Is that how you say it?
I believe so. And basically what, yeah, like what it is we said we would do a shot. We didn't say that you could decide what we're doing a shot of. So
but Brett's a friend of the pod, so he gets special privileges.
Exactly. And, you know, and Brett's been on the pod. We did our crossover episode. So, yeah, I'm going to read this and then we'll do the shot. We discovered, I didn't realize this, Rumplemintz is 100 proof, guys.
We were like, oh, this is some sad college liqueur.
We've been going pretty heavy on this scotch. A little peek behind the scenes. When we have interruptions, we tend to end up drinking more because we'll sometimes drink through the interruptions. You know, it's there. It's in front of us. Not like we're trying to do that. It's just there. And this, we've had a lot of interruptions tonight.
Producer Sean lives in the direct flight path.
Burbank
Airport.
Susan spoke up a few times. Yeah. There's just been a lot going on. So
I'd say don't tell them, but like, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah. So this could seriously mess us up for the rest of the episode. But I'm going
to
read this.
I have to work tomorrow, guys. Yeah.
So we both have to work tomorrow.
I have to go to the office.
All right. So this is Brett's review. It says, Witcher has whiskey, 5 stars. It's very simple, very straight to the point.
That's all you need. That's all you need to be Shakespeare.
It says, I like when they drink the whiskey and talk about the Witcher, A++++++.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it. Okay. So, first impressions before tasting it, extremely mouthwashy in smell.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so we do this, Valerie. Cheers.
Oh, cheers. Cheers, okay. Sean.
Cheers.
Fuck you, Brett.
It tastes like a candy cane. That's like what it tastes like.
Oh, man.
It tastes like mouthwash.
All right, it tastes like a candy cane on the palate. And in the finish, it tastes like mouthwash.
I know I'm supposed to say that it tastes like college, but I drink better shit.
It kind of tastes like the dentist, right?
It tastes like the dentist. Yeah. It 100% tastes like the dentist.
Yeah. All right.
So that was Rumplements. Thank you for the review, Brett. That was mean.
Yeah, and let's see how the rest of this episode goes.
And you too. You too can make us do this shit if you write a review, a 5-star review.
Yeah, Kaer Morhen. Yeah, just be you and
you and me like old times, man. Yeah.
You want me to go first?
Go for it.
So this time it's like I'm gonna say I don't know that will be the same because there's like a few choices that I could see that are all good choices. So maybe we picked the same one, but maybe we picked different ones. I could say I considered a few different people because there is, you know, a fair amount of stupidity in this episode. But when you really get down to it, I guess I got to go with the same guy I picked for the Netflix version of the episode for a totally different reason. But Ike, you know, like Ike, let's say, you know, comparing him to the Ike in the Netflix episode, the Netflix Ike is just a hands down a bigger idiot. He's just like, you know, he's just an imbecile all around. Mm-hmm. He's a fool, you know, he really is. He doesn't really have any good qualities. The Ike in the Hexer episode, I would argue, you know, is he you know, he's too good. He's good to like a fault. Like he's not a bad guy. He saves Geralt's life.
Yeah.
You know, like he's the one guy who does. He throws down the rope. Mm-hmm. He is noble. Like the only thing Geralt really has against him, like he acknowledges his skill, his respects his skill. The thing he has against him is that he works for no money, so it makes it, you know, hard for him, you know,
he's
to turn a
profit.
Flood
in the market.
Yes, exactly. And so that's his problem with him. But he's too pure. He's too righteous. You know, he's kind of, in a world like this, it comes off as kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I get to, like, kind of what I said, I think, in our last Hexer episode, which is, you know, use your fucking advantage, you know, like, like, if you're going to fight this dragon, and I'm not sure if fighting this dragon is what you should be doing. I kind of agree with Geralt in that regard. You know, of course, I am kind of biased. I love dragons. But, you know, I wouldn't be killing this dragon. But if you're going to try to kill the dragon, you have, like, a whole team of, like, fighters who are specifically skilled at fighting dragons, right, killing dragons. They're dragon slayers. You know, use this advantage. Use this team. Instead, in some sort of noble, you know, like endeavor, he challenges the dragon to a fight to the death. The dragon accepts. It takes like all of what, 5 seconds? Yeah. And Ike is laid out. Yeah. Now, I'm assuming he's dead in the Hexer.
Yeah, in the books, he's not.
The books, he's not. He's very fucked up, but he's not actually killed. Either way, it's over in like a snap.
Yeah.
It's just a ridiculous, you know, what, like,
in a snap, like Ike's spine.
Yeah. It's just like, what does it matter? Like, you know, why? I don't understand why. It's some weird sort
of the chivalry code.
Yeah,
man.
It's some weird sort of sense of chivalry or honor. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's maybe he sees it as it's fair, it's one on one. But a dragon is not the equivalent of a human.
Yeah,
and he's fought enough beasts that he should realize that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Guy's an idiot, or at least it's an idiotic decision. Yes. And so he is my care moron of the episode.
I think that's an excellent pick, Tim.
Yeah.
And it's not my pick.
Okay.
But all it right. is an excellent pick.
Whoever you picked is probably someone I considered.
Probably. I picked the random townspeople or townsperson that is stealing from a witcher. Beginning of the episode that are like, oh, he's been in the cave too long. Yeah. Let's rifle through his things.
Uh-huh.
What? No. What are you doing?
Yeah.
He's a witcher. It's been like 20 minutes. Give it a minute. And then you have the mayor, and the mayor's like, hey, we shouldn't do this. And then the guy's a dick to the mayor. And it's like, what is that supposed to accomplish? Because, okay, let's say the witcher is dead and you can't take his stuff. The mayor's not dead. The mayor is still the mayor.
Yeah.
The mayor can theoretically lock you in jail for being insubordinate. Why are you being a dick to the mayor, too? What's going on
there? The mayor didn't seem all that forceful, though.
We learned this from Jaws.
He didn't seem like a very good mayor.
The mayor seemed like a pushover, but still. Like,
but I hear you. I know what you mean. Like,
you don't be a dick to the mayor.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then he gets killed because he's like, once again, a dick to somebody else. And it finally comes back to bite him in the ass.
Yeah.
Just like not as beautifully thought out as yours, but just like, again, people picking fights with witchers. Don't steal shit from witchers. Don't mess around with these mutated killing machines. What's wrong with you?
That is always a good pick. And he is someone who I considered briefly. I think the reason I ruled him out is because I kind of have been picking people who always pick fights with witchers. So it's like I wanted to get off of that. But that's never a bad choice. He totally is. There are a few people you could choose, you know, in this episode. You know, I'll tell you, I also considered the cobbler, you know, as well.
Yeah.
but no, I think these are both good choices for care morons. I mean, they're always good choices. Lot of like idiocy in this episode.
Indeed.
Yeah. Off the path, we do have stuff to talk about in this segment. We'll keep it brief like we did in our last, you know, off the path segment.
Tim, all I taste is mint.
All you taste is mint. That is very off the path. I don't think there's any mint in this story. First off, I want to start by saying Hexer adapted the story more faithfully than the Netflix did. So credit where it's due. If you're looking for faithfulness, this is a very, you know, I would say
up to a point,
yes, but a pretty faithful adaptation. Much more faithful than the Netflix series, and also much more faithful than anything we've gotten from the Hexer so far, which is surprising considering what they did in those first two episodes and what they did to Kaer Morhen and to Vesemir and that whole, you know, dynamic and just those characters, you know, the fact that there was, you know, we talked about no Lambert, no Eskel and how I was getting angry about that, you know, now to kind of really go the opposite opposite direction and pretty faithfully adapt an episode is surprising to me. This was
again up to a point though, because like you have Yaskier and Yennefer being introduced, and you have the Yennefer flashback, and that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, well, we talked. Yeah. I won't reiterate that too much. Right. We talked about that, how it comes in a different time in the storyline. There are things that, like, as I said, we're going to do an off the path segment.
Yeah.
But I want to acknowledge how much was on the path.
Yeah.
Because. It follows pretty much the same general outline of the Sapkowski short story. And we have things like I talked about, like the discussions at this pub between Borich and Geralt. A lot of it is lifted from it. But going back to your Kermoran,
I made the opposite mistake
I usually do. Yeah. Like I was surprised he even had the pockmarks that they describe in the book. That's his only description, because he doesn't have a name. He's like this pockmarked, person. And and the actor, the character, I think it was makeup, but had kind of the pockmarks on his face. So that was pretty faithful. When they come to the guardsman who won't let them,
he's
drawing in the dirt.
Yeah.
Like he is.
I noticed that.
Yeah. Like a lot of these details, even the, we were joking about, but even the foursome in the bathtub, a lot of it is there. So this is a pretty faithful adaptation. And I was surprised. Where it goes off the path are kind of an interesting little area. It's like, all right, so most of the characters in the short story are in this episode, with one notable exception, the character of Dorgaray, who is a sorcerer who befriends, befriends is maybe too generous a term, but he meets up with Geralt and is friendly towards him. But Dorgaray he's a sorcerer who just wants to, he's in on the side of the monsters.
Yeah, conservation. He's really into conservation. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't like what Geralt does. He certainly doesn't like what all these dragon hunters are doing. He's on the side of the dragon, but he's on the side of monsters in general. Yeah. He just thinks monsters should live have the chance to live, and that it's not their fault. And, always trying to kill them off is not the right thing. Like, one of the other things I thought was kind of interesting, and it's a small detail, but I actually thought it was better done in the Hexer than in the short story, is how he gets by the guard after Geralt decides he wants to join the dragon hunt. Mm-hmm. In the short story, he bribes the guard.
Yeah.
And actually, I guess it's Borch who bribes him, with his deep pockets. But in this, Geralt shows him his medallion and says, you know what this is? He's like, do you want to tell the king that you denied access to a gang of witchers or a team of witchers?
And Borch pretends to be a witcher.
Yeah. And the guard's like, because he says he won't let anyone buy unless they can fight the dragon.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you know what this is? Yeah. And it's a really sort of smart way of getting past, using, the fact that he is a witcher. Presumably he would know how to kill a dragon if he wanted to do that. So I thought that was actually an improvement, but it's different from the book. Mm-hmm. It's also in the book, the guardsman is also saying people need like a rite of passage or something like that. I don't remember the exact term. So it's a little bit different here. He's just saying, I want to let people through who can kill the dragon. So that's a bit different. And then I think, there are little things here and there, like the fact that Dorgaray is not in the story. He's the one who I think saves Geralt and Yen when they're like dangling off of it. And they're also dangling off of a bridge rather than a cliff like they are. But he's the one, he enchants like a rope. I think Ike still throws down the rope, but Dorgaray has an involvement. So it's like in this, it's Yaskier and Dorgaray and Yaskier and Ike. In the short story, it's Dorgaray and Ike. So a little bit different there. But
Borch in the books is like, hey, you might not want to go over that bridge. Yeah, and Geralt's like, what do you mean? And he's like, never mind. Yeah.
And we talked about like other little things, like the fact that there are the conversations about the different types of dragons missing from here, which I think was kind of, it would have benefited from having that, as well as the later conversation about how golden dragons can change their appearance. Mm-hmm. So there's that, And then I think the last sort of biggest change, you know, I mean, we don't need to get to how Yasgur is more pervy and stuff going on there. I mean, the final battle plays out slightly differently, but you know, the baby dragon is in the book. Mm-hmm. You know, that's definitely in the story. It's not in the Netflix episode. You know, and I think like, but the other big kind of, I'd say where it's off the path is just kind of the differences in where the relationships mm-hmm. are. Geralt knows Yasgur pretty well at, you know, at this point in the book, and he's definitely met Yennefer and they mm-hmm. have their relationship. So it just, you know, that felt a little more forced in this, I mm-hmm. thought. You know, I also do kind of miss the dialogue, and this is something that's in the Netflix episode, but it's not in the Hexer one, the line about how he is the most beautiful.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was great.
I do like that line a lot. Yeah. It's funny, it's humorous, but you know, in the story, and this wasn't, you know, it's funny, Netflix used the kind of humorous part where he says, why do you serve him? And she's like, he's the most beautiful. And at this point, you just think Borch is this weird little guy. Yeah. It's like, what are you talking about? you know, When I don't know, one of the Thea or Vea, I don't know which one it is, says that. But yeah, that's, you know, that line's not there. But it pays off so well in the short story at the end where, you know, you see the golden, you know, you see Borch fly off as like a golden dragon. And Geralt says, you know, you're right, Vea, he is the most beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was like a nice beat to end on in the short story. But of course, they just completely, you know, that none of that's here. So, you know, goes off the path in little areas. And some of them, I guess, maybe are bigger than others, like, you know, Geralt and Yasgur and where they are in their relationships. But I think by and large, it's a much closer adaptation than what you get in the Netflix series.
Yeah. So, like you said, it's the first one that they've actually kind of adapted
directly. And I think did a pretty decent job with it. I think, frankly, part of me wonders if they were, you know, took a more sort of faithful approach to this at the very beginning. I'm not saying you couldn't make changes here and there, but if like those earlier episodes were a little bit, you know, started a little bit more faithful to the books, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe the show might have done better out of the gate. I don't know, but it's possible. Hmm. So,
Crossroads of Destiny.
Crossroads of Destiny.
You were right, Tim.
Yeah.
You were right about the Dragon Hunt.
I was right about the Dragon Hunt. I was wrong about Renfrey being in it.
I mean, I listened back to our old episode and I was almost ready to commit to Yasgur being in it. And then at the last minute, I chickened out. And I'm like, oh, I should have said it because he was totally here, but I didn't. So I don't get the credit.
I don't think either of us had Yasgur. Certainly none of us had Yennefer.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I really did pull that out of my ass, so I was just surprised.
But you were right.
Yeah, but I do have some predictions for what we'll see next episode. I'm sure you do too. I wonder if maybe we're on the same page in at least a little bit of this. So, okay, he rides off with Yennefer.
Yes.
Yennefer says something. We didn't go into this the episode in part because I was saving it for this. But Yennefer says a line a few times where she says, I'm a piece of ice.
Yes, I noticed that as well.
Yeah. And
a shard of ice, Yennefer?
There you go. Yeah. I think next episode we're going to get an adaptation of a shard of ice. So I am predicting,
we'll get
an adaptation of a shard of ice because I think that was setting it up. Ooh. And I'm going to also say I think we'll meet an Istrid next season.
Oh my gosh,
Or next episode.
An Istrid.
Yeah. And that's where I'm going with it. I think next episode is going to be an adaptation of Shard of Ice with Istrid. I'm also going to predict that Falwick is going to be back. I'm glad he wasn't in this episode. I thought this episode
was pronounced Guido.
So he's given up that name. you gotta let it go, Sean.
Well, that's racist against Italians.
I think we're going to get a little. I think Falwick's going to be back. you know, I feel like he kind of needs to be. I'm glad, I guess on one hand, I'm glad he wasn't in this episode. It's more like I'm surprised this was this is where they decided to put this episode, even though I predicted it. But
yeah, it was a weird place. But
yeah. And so I'm going to say, I think we'll get Falwick. I do not think we'll get Renfrey back because of this prediction, because I'm thinking it's going to be Shard of Ice. I think if you're going to do Shard of Ice, which is a very Geralt Yennefer story, you can't have Renfrey there in the background doing stuff. So I don't think she's coming back yet, even though I was thinking she would be. We'd be getting a lot of Renfrey at this point. I think we're going to like hold off for at least another episode. So that's my prediction.
I like your prediction. Next. I would be very intrigued to see a Shard of Ice done. I think that'd be very interesting.
I think that's where we're going.
My prediction that I had written down was that I think we're going to get Geralt and Yaskir and the elves. I think we're going to do the episode with the elves with Philivandrel.
The Edge of the World?
Yeah, Edge of the World, baby.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to get that coming up.
Now, I'm curious why you would think that, considering you rode off with Yen and left Yaskir. You just think Hector's going to hex her. They're going to time jump a little bit or something.
I mean, we had like flashback introduction to Yennefer. That's totally fair. Just because they rode off in the sunset doesn't mean we're going to see them together in the next episode.
That's totally fair. Matter of fact, you're probably more likely to be right than I am.
I don't know, man. You're doing good with your bullshit pulls. Well, like, you really got it.
All right, but see, the last time I was totally pulling, like I said, I was totally pulling that out of the air. This time I'm like, I really thought this through and I'm like, all right, I think I'm thinking logically, but this show doesn't necessarily
I don't disagree with you. Logically, that would be the next step.
Yeah. But this show doesn't necessarily operate that way. So I think like, you know, this random, like suddenly he's with Yaskir and off meeting elves seems as likely as mine at this point.
Yeah.
So, any other predictions you want to put forth?
Not really. I know we've got to get some Renfrey stuff in there because she's going to be episodes. But no, I feel like now that we've introduced Yen and Yaskir, I feel like it's going to be one of the two of them. And I'm leaning more towards Yaskir than Yen.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Yeah. Just knowing what I know about the episodes that these characters are in, Yen is not in a lot of episodes. Yeah. So if I'm right, and if it is Shard of Ice, we're not going to get much more Yen past that.
Yeah.
You know, like I think I said she was in three episodes. Mm. Renfrey's in three episodes. Yeah. So, you know, that if I'm right, that's an interesting sort of progression for the series to stack Yen at the beginning because I thought she'd come later.
Right.
So, anyhow, we'll see. We will see. The logic of that seems to weigh in your favor because it's like, you know, you don't want all the Yen episodes to be right at the beginning and then the final six, seven episodes she's not in. That just wouldn't seem to make sense. So we can move on to our final toast.
Final toast.
Wait a minute. I was supposed to write this
toast. You were supposed to write the toast. Are you just now realizing you were supposed to write the toast?
I realized it. So you know what? We're going to do this a bit off the cuff. We're going to do this a bit different. Sean's writing something down, but he needs a drink with us.
I'm good, huh?
How's that Rumpelman's hitting, Sean? Doing okay over there?
Rumpley.
So, I'll admit, this could be a better toast. I'm doing this completely off the cuff. I've not really thought this through. But, we're drinking Provenance. From the Speyside region. It came from this like wonderful trip to the UK that Valerie and I took together, but from a part that I didn't get to go to, Scotland. We've not done a Scotch on the podcast before, but we know we have other Scotches we're going to bring on. Mm-hmm. So I think I am going to toast to that, to this being the start of kind of opening our sort of whiskey palette to include more scotches. Hopefully the next one, a little bit more smoky, just to be different. Not that this was bad, but just to be different, and really sort of broadening kind of the whiskeys we've had on the podcast so far, because we've had a lot of bourbons, frankly. Yeah. So Provenance, we're gonna use this to toast to more scotches in our future. So cheers.
Cheers.
So we will talk to you in a week where we'll be doing another episode of Hexer. So until then, guys, cheers.
Cheers.
Be well, and we will see you on the path.
Bye.
Whiskey with Witcher is a Malcontent Media production by Tim Beadle and Valerie Petrarca. Our producer is Sean Farina. For updates, pics, and behind-the-scenes shenanigans, follow us on Twitter at WhiskeyWitcher and on Instagram at WhiskeyWithWitcher. Want to express your undying love for Roach or recommend a good whiskey? Email us at WhiskeyWithWitcher@malcontent.media. Who knows, we might even get drunk enough to read your email in a future podcast. If you like what you've heard, toss us a proverbial coin by rating and reviewing this show on Apple Podcasts and subscribing wherever podcasts are downloaded. Cheers!
Is it an orgy if it's four people? Like, is foursome an orgy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Philosophical questions. Like,
I mean,
five.
You're
asking. I feel like five would be orgy territory. I don't know.
Ask this when we are recording.
I'm going to agree with you there.
Because you don't really say a fivesome. Yeah. That's just ridiculous. That's too many arms. But...
All right. Oh, man. All right. Gee whiz. Look at all those arms.
No, I mean, like, elbows. Getting overwhelming. Indian places that maybe you don't want an elbow to be.
Well, the thing about an orgy, so I've heard, is it's not like you're...
It's not a giant, thriving mass of people. Yeah, you kind of, like, go off and do your own thing.
Yeah, Like, you probably couldn't have an orgy in a bathtub, like, unless it's a giant-ass bathtub.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a Japanese onsen sort of thing. Is this like 100 proof at the top? Is that what it is, or is that the...
I don't know.
At the very top, there's the number
100.
I mean,
this 100. Is for, like, college children. It's 100 proof. Really?
No, I'm not saying it is, but it
says 100 proof.
Is that what it says?
The bottom.
Yeah.
It's 50% it does say
alcohol
that.
By volume. Jesus Christ.
This is for children. Yeah, it gets them fucked up. It tastes like candy.